Yes, and how are the lambs?
It's 7 o'clock. I'd like to call the meeting to order, please, if you'd rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. It's the Candia Zoning Board of Adjustment, August 27, 2019. Sitting on the board to my left is Judith Zott. I'm Bob Petrin, Ingrid Bird, Boyd Chivers, Ron Howe. Lisa Galicia is the recording secretary. As alternates, we have Mark Ramakaitis and Tony
Steinmetz.
Thank you, Steinmetz, as alternates. Would you be so kind to read the first case, Lisa?
Case number 19-007, applicant Bradley and Teresa Beebe, 100 North Road, Candia, New Hampshire, 03034. Owner same, property location 98 North Road, Candia, New Hampshire, 03034. Map 406, lot 039. For a variance under Article 2, Section 2.02b, non-conforming uses and structures, change and expansion. Intent, to remove the existing mobile home and replace it with a new, extended, or enlarged version of a concrete slab.
Very good, thank you. Have the abutters been notified?
Yes.
Any abutters present this evening? All righty, at some point in the proceedings, you'll have a chance to speak. And the applicants are present? Please approach the table and lay out your case, if you would.
Okay.
Oh. Thank you, Mark.
Okay.
Mr. and Mrs. Beebe, is that correct?
Yes.
Yes, sir. Okay, what we have there right now, it's a 15-year-old mobile home, single wide, and it's 14 by 56 feet long, and we found one that we want to replace it with for an in-law residence. We're going to have family members move there, and the one that we want to put in is 14 foot by 66 foot. And I think right now we're zoned up to 64, so we need to gain, I think, another 2 feet.
Where is that written, Dave, that they're zoned to 64? Is that on a tax card?
Actually, it was a previous variance that they received back probably 15 years ago, maybe. I think that's in front of you.
I think it's 2005 or 4.
For the original non-conforming?
It was approved for a 64-foot.
I do have that file in case you guys want to reference it. I wasn't sure what you'd need out of it, but the original is here.
But and they are, what are they approved for? 64?
14 by 64.
14 by 64.
Okay.
Yes.
Was that the first mobile home on site, on that site, or was it a replacement for another one?
She's talking
the
about
existing
this one.
It replaces one that was there. That's I'm trying to think the original. Remind me the original owners.
Robert Perkins.
Remember Perkins Singer? You were on the board then, and they had a. His mother, I think, was living in the trailer, and that it was falling down, and they wanted to replace it.
2005.
And so they were allowed to replace it, and
right.
I mean, when you with the new
yes.
with the new
dimensions.
No, with the new law that allows in-law apartments, but the well, it does. It's a pre-existing non-conforming
right.
use.
Yeah. Is it occupied now?
No, it's not occupied.
How long has it been unoccupied?
Maybe 2 months.
Yeah, two or three months.
Is it a year?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. And who lived there before?
We had it rented before.
Terry and Joseph Adette were renting it out.
We wanted to put Brad's mother and autistic brother in there. And this one we're going to get, hopefully, is a two-bedroom. So that would give them a more comfortable.
So it's been occupied up until about 2 months ago?
Yes.
Okay.
As a rental unit?
Yes, it was rented out. We bought the property about 2 years ago.
And this is the first time we moved up here.
Yeah, we just moved up here the end of March.
I see. Yeah.
So are you living in the trailer now?
We're living
no,
in
we're
the home.
You're living in the home. There's a home and a trailer.
Yes.
On the same lot?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
So in other words, it's two residences on one lot?
Yes.
So it's a pre-existing non-conforming use that hasn't been abandoned then?
No.
No.
And they got a variance for a 62-foot trailer?
64.
64, do you want to put 66?
66,
so
correct.
So we're talking 2 feet?
2 feet, yes.
Off the end of this?
But what you're talking about is the difference there. For an in-law apartment, you're allowed, or an in-law, because this is detached, it can stay detached. The 14 by 56 gives them 784 square feet, and the new one is 924 square feet. And the ordinance allows 750 square feet.
So
now this is the second expansion of a non-conforming use.
What kind of problems does that?
You're not going to live in this trailer. Correct?
His mother and his autistic brother.
Yeah.
Okay. So family. Two of them will live in the trailer.
Yes.
You'll continue
living in the home.
In the house.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
So they're in violation of two sections of the ordinance: whether accessory dwelling, because they exceed 750 square feet, or 202B. Because it's being enlarged to another non-conforming use.
To a bigger non-conforming
right.
use.
Right, yeah.
What criteria has to be met in order to change the non-conforming use? The B that we're just referencing, Boyd.
Yeah, they have to stay on the same footprint. No expansion.
No legal non-conforming use shall be changed to another non-conforming use. And no non-conforming use shall be enlarged or extended.
Right. Okay.
There's not a criteria to meet. It's the rule.
And that's the one they're seeking a variance from.
Yeah.
Relief from that particular restriction.
Any questions? Just for the record, Tony, would you identify yourself for the record?
My name is Tony Steinman.
Alternate member, yes, sir. Thank you.
Tonight, always full of questions. Does the 700 and whatever...
What'd you say, Judith? 7 what?
50. The 750 is what's allowed.
Does the 750 apply to a separate structure or one that's attached
any,
to the
it doesn't
house?
Matter. In-law, an accessory dwelling unit. Accessory dwelling unit.
Doesn't have to be attached to the main.
It does now. They changed the ordinance and it does now. Before it said that it could be either detached or attached. Now it must be attached. They passed that last March when they had was on the warrant.
So that doesn't apply here.
It does apply here. What applies here is that now they're only allowed 750 square feet.
Uh huh.
And they're asking for an expansion now to 924 square feet.
Okay, thank you.
But the variance request is only from section 202B. They're not asking for a variance from the 750 square foot limitation.
Well, they're asking to expand it. So that's the same. That's essentially what they're getting their variance from. I mean.
We've got a question from Dave Murray.
Yeah. And this was approved in 2005. Was that for an in-law apartment?
No.
This is the notice of decision.
That's gone.
Yeah, I don't.
So it's two different things. It's not
two residential units on one property.
Yeah,
right.
It is.
Like two houses on one.
Yeah, I don't think it's considered as an in-law apartment anymore.
No.
It's not considered an accessory dwelling because it goes so far back. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Except it's already had an expansion of the original variance,
right.
And now it's another expansion of the second, the second expansion.
Well, I think what Dave is saying that it was when it was put in, there were actually two houses on the same property. It was an accessory dwelling unit. Then the accessory dwelling unit, that all that legislation was passed, but that was all passed after this, you had these two houses on one lot. Basically, that's what you have. The ordinance prohibits two houses on one lot.
The houses existed quite a while ago, right?
They go
They've
back way, way, way back.
They were grandfathered,
yes.
In other words.
Yeah. He, and Mr. Perkins had his mother-in-law living in there, and then I think she passed away, and it was falling down, and I remember the building inspector coming in and talking about how the floor was falling through, and there was no way that it could be saved, and it
so
needed
it
to be. So they asked to replace it because someone else from the family was going to live there. Mm-hmm. And so now it's two houses on one lot. So you've got two dwellings on one lot. Mm-hmm. You've got, if you consider it an accessory dwelling unit, then you're expanding it almost 175 feet,
no.
Which is, you know, almost, 25%.
Mm-hmm. This now has two septic systems, too. You must have
yes.
one for the house and one for
correct.
This
yes.
dwelling unit.
Yep.
So it, more and more, it's two houses on one lot, not... Mm-hmm.
How big is the lot? How many acres?
1.6.
1.65, I think, is what it is.
It appears that the accessory dwelling portion of it, the makeup of this lot, as depicted here, precedes the whole concept of accessory dwelling. So
right.
I think we're justified in ruling that out and talking about a variance to change or expand what is present.
Which is two houses on one lot.
Which is also predates, it goes back how far, we don't know yet.
Oh, it doesn't predate zoning.
No.
No,
it doesn't predate zoning.
But it hasn't been abandoned, so they, for more than a year, so they...
No, continue. They have a pre-existing non-conforming use.
Right.
Which is two houses, and the pre-existing non-conforming use is two houses, two dwelling units on one
right.
piece of property.
One substandard
so
lot.
So what they want to right. do now is just enlarge the non-conforming use by 2 feet on the end of it.
No, actually, by it's currently 784 square feet, and they want to make it 924 square feet.
Right, but they're
only length.
They're allowed 64. What's 14 times 64? And it'll be the difference between 64
768.
Because
it was that's 12 by. I thought it was 12 by 64.
14 times 64.
Now, let me ask you a question. The reason for the additional length is just that you found a mobile home that happens to fit that criteria, right?
Correct.
It has two bathrooms. That's why we chose that particular unit.
A lot of mobile homes that are smaller have two bathrooms. 6 4 is 24, carry 2, yeah, 8.
Well,
it's
8. I have the brochure.
896.
So I guess my question is...
So it's 896 and they want to make it 924.
Could you conceivably...
You're talking about 28 feet.
I mean, the 2 feet on the end is not really...
14 and 14 is 28.
For right. two people so to comfortably.
Huh? Right.
So really, the bathroom's the issue, I guess, or
well,
for you.
The issue is that what they were allowed, but what they have there right now is 700. What they have there right now is 14 by 56. That's 784 square feet. And
they
want to go to 924.
And they're approved for 896.
It says 880 square feet on what I have here.
Oh, for what they're... Okay.
What we're picking, yes.
So, I don't, well, 14 by 64 is 896.
14 by what?
64. I don't know, maybe part of it is something else.
Yeah, it's 896.
Yeah.
I got 14 by 66, and it says it's 880 square feet on the brochure we got from the company.
Huh. My I just did it. I got 924.
924.
Yeah, it must be wrong.
My main concern is that this is a substandard lot with two residences on it, two septic systems, and this is going to be the second expansion of the mobile home.
Do you have two wells also?
No, one.
One well.
One well, yeah.
A single driveway or is it a
circle?
It's here on the back run.
Okay, I haven't seen it.
Oh, flip yours over. You got the application there?
Oh, is it maybe?
Yep, the whole package there.
There it is, right there.
You've got to flip the whole thing.
And the house sits up high. And the mobile home is down lower, as I remember.
Hard to see from the road.
Yeah, the house is up. I remember it's up.
Is there a problem with the setbacks?
No.
Code enforcement?
No problem with the setbacks.
Now flip the page.
It's 27 feet from the front.
Yeah, okay.
It's 27 feet from the
road.
Property line.
From the stone wall in front?
Yeah, that's what it says on the front of the building, is so that it is within the setback.
I don't know about that. I'd like to measure that myself.
Well, that's what the plans that they gave us say, that it's 27 feet. The corner is, and I don't, I'm looking for north on this. I'm trying to think. North is this direction. So.
Right here.
The northwest corner.
Where do you have yours?
What? I'm looking.
Oh, all right, north. Okay. That's what I thought. North is this way. I know that north is kind of this way. So the northern edge of that, of the trailer, is 27 feet from the property line, it says. And the rear is 40 feet.
And how is the house? How close is the house to the property line?
31.
27 feet.
No, 31. Talking about the house. The house
is 31 feet.
Thank you. The direction of the expansion doesn't encroach any more into the setback. So.
$370 feet of frontage. By
well, while you're all thinking about that, I'll just say that I don't know that this is an issue. To deny it means that septic in that area just goes to nothing, or they keep it smaller.
Well, not really. They just put a mobile home on that pad.
Yeah.
That's
a little smaller. That's appropriate.
Does this existing mobile home have two bedrooms?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And one bathroom.
And one bath. Is there any conceivable way? I know it's tough in a mobile home to find space, but there's no easy way to put a second bathroom in.
No.
In the existing, no.
And it is pretty worn by having it occupied by
renters.
Questionable renters, yes.
Sure. Mark's got a comment, question?
More commentary. We have a 15-year-old manufactured house structure here. And we're looking to put a brand-new construction, brand-new manufactured property on this structure, which will meet the latest codes. They're going to replace the concrete slab, which 15 years ago, who knows what was poured there.
Yeah.
Now there's a lot of, all the rules have changed with regards to the installation in the state of New Hampshire for manufactured housing. So this thing's going to have underground utilities, going to have a brand new concrete slab. Everything has to meet the latest standard of 2019, not 2005. So as a member of this community, I look at this as an improvement of the property. And that's my comment.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you.
Well, the thing is, Mark, they can put right now they were granted in 2005 the right to put in a 14 by 64. So they can put a 14 by 64 in because they have that right granted in 2005. They want two more feet on the end, 14 square feet.
Mark's got another comment. Go ahead.
Yeah. Would the applicant... You have the brochure.
I have a brochure.
Would you just tell me what the manufacturer says the occupied square footage of the structure is, please?
It's 13.
No, which one are you looking
total
at?
Total square feet.
This one.
No, that's not it, Teresa. That's 66.
No, that's not it.
Mark, do you have it there?
It's number 5.
My memory wasn't that good. I didn't pick it off the conversation.
That's a fair question.
Yeah. The reason for asking...
But that makes a difference. You're right.
The reason I'm asking is that it's approved for 896 feet, if you want to use that term. And I think the Mr. Applicant indicated he has paperwork indicating 880 feet. And we have whatever the manufacturer says, when you do the square footage of a building, you know, it's the livable space. And if it comes in at 880 or 875, it actually may be less square footage than what's there. That's my only comment.
880 square feet.
So there must be.
That's what it says.
They must take out the space for
the
heater, the hot water,
and the walls.
The thickness of walls. Yeah.
So you basically, I understand the building is 2 feet longer.
But it does that to all houses.
But the total,
well, no,
the square footage is almost the same.
Yeah.
Hmm. Well, it's actually, well, no, it wouldn't be less because.
Yeah.
Because you have to take it out from the other one, but
I
know I hear what you're saying, Mark.
If you're approved for a 64, thank you, Mark.
No, Mark, that's you're making good points. You really are.
If you're approved for a 64 foot, what's keeping you from going with a 64 instead of a 66?
They can't get two bathrooms in a 64. They want two bathrooms.
Is that a fact?
Yeah.
And you have two adults that you want to live in there. Each has
right,
a bathroom.
Right, because. His brother-in-law is, his brother is autistic, and it's easier for an autistic person to have a specified living area than it is to be sharing a space.
Okay. Well,
so we're trying to make it as comfortable as possible.
Yeah.
He's going to be sharing the mobile home.
With his mother, yes.
Yeah.
And the living room and kitchen will be their common area.
Yeah, so...
I think we should focus on the fact we're talking about 28 square feet. That's an area smaller than the size of these tables put together. It's not much.
Yeah. No, it really isn't.
When you consider
a 5x5 is 25, right?
Right, yeah. And what we have here, we got about 5x10.
Yeah.
Okay, we got 4x10 anyhow. Here's 40 square feet right here.
You also have to think about the whole issue of how many variances can you have on a parcel. There have already been two because it was smaller and then it went bigger and now it's proposed to be bigger again. It's already 1.5 acres, which is below standard or below our zoning ordinance. Once we establish that something like that is okay, the next person that comes in, how do you say no?
I think it's a very unique situation.
Well,
my first impression is I don't see a problem with this.
I'll throw something else out, and I know it's not our problem to solve your problem, really, but if you went with a trailer that had 50 square feet, just as a rough figure, less than what is allowed, and physically built a second bathroom on the end of that trailer, I'm assuming the master bedroom is probably on
the
end of a trailer.
Yeah.
Could you, am I way out in left field here to think about, I mean, it's pretty easy in the kind of construction in a trailer to put a door in and add.
But still requires a building permit, I think.
Oh, I'm sure it does.
And we're still expanding an illegal nonconforming.
Yeah,
but no, I'm saying don't expand it. Expand it included within that total figure. In other words, a slightly smaller trailer
with
an addition on it for the bathroom. Is that
on the same footprint?
I think the same footprint. But
you could do that, but you're still expanding it.
Right.
You know, it's still an expansion of a legal non-conforming use. Mm. So. Whether they add on or just bring in a longer one, it's kind of the same deal.
Right.
Okay.
Any comments from a butter at this time?
Yes, I have a couple questions.
If you'd be so kind to identify yourself.
My name is Gary York. I'm a trustee for the Neil Siniski Trust, who is the budding property. There's 28 acres that connect directly to the property. And
is that Siniski's property?
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
Okay.
There's 28 acres that are trustee for. What's the zoning for that particular area?
Residential.
R.
So, and you're changing the home because of its age?
Yes, yeah, so wear and tear on it. It's kind of wore out.
And it was a rental property when you purchased the property?
Yes, it was.
So if something happens to your, I should say, your mother?
Yes.
Would that revert back to a rental property again?
No, it would be a full-time home.
My brother's moving in too.
Okay.
Of his brother and whatever caregiver we put in the home to keep him comfortable.
It's a delicate situation, and I feel for you both, but, you know, I think we need to take a look at the opportunity for the zoning board to write a zoning infraction here, potentially. Consider the locational obsolescence of the trailer in the residential area. I think the zoning rules were put in place, you know, so that there were certain areas for mobile homes to be placed. So, again, how is that going with that particular installation or structure? Is that going to affect the surrounding property values? I know that the trailer now could probably be just removed, and that would solve the zoning issue. And I just want to make sure the board considers that we're potentially looking at subdividing that property of Saminsky's. We picked up the applications for minor site plan review. So, you know, these lots will probably go, you know, considerably more than what we're talking about here. Is that going to affect the market value of those lots, that particular structure being sold? So, I don't know. Those are my comments, and I appeal to the board to make the right decision as far as the zoning rules and regulations, and consider all the abutters that are around, whether they're here or not, and the property values associated with that. Thank you.
Thank you. Duly noted. Dave?
The trailer's already there. That's a fact. The trailer's already there. If it's a new one, or there's 2 feet longer or not, that's going to raise the property values.
Right.
Or you leave the old one there, leave the values as they are. As it deteriorates, the property values are going to go down.
You still got two buildings of non-conforming use on a small lot. Mm-hmm.
That have been operating for years, yeah?
Yeah, 10 acres.
Okay. Non-conforming?
More property, okay. Than I'd say I would have no issue with this particular issue at all.
What's the typical life of a manufactured home? I don't want to use the word trailer. Manufactured home. Is it 20 years? I mean, do they have a... You probably
I can talk to that based on my career, I guess. The target life is 20. If you maintain it well, you're going to get longer service. If you don't take care of it, 12 to 15, you're going to have problems. So that's where we're at.
I guess we're on the downswing of this particular structure. And from what you say, it's, you know, questionable whether you'd want to have it there 5 years from now anyway, as it exists.
Right.
Will there be rent collected? You know, is this a rental property as well? So, you know, what's the whole picture that we're looking at?
Well, that's immaterial. I mean, that's not in the zoning ordinance whether it generates cash for anybody. I mean, I guess it's family members.
And you can charge your family, right?
Sure.
But, Ingrid's got a comment?
My concern, with everything else aside, is that it's a substandard lot. It's already been, the trailer has already been upgraded once. And here we are doing it again, or being asked to do it again. There is no reason, except for the convenience of an extra bathroom, to expand this trailer, this mobile home, this whatever you want to call it. If you came in and just wanted to have a new mobile home of the same size that you've got there now, I don't think we'd be talking about this.
We'd have to put in a new slab anyway.
Which I don't think Dave would have any problem with.
If it was the same size, we wouldn't be here tonight.
Yeah, right.
Right.
But they want to have an extra bathroom. Two bathrooms.
Well,
There's not another manufacturer that makes two bathrooms on a...
We only knew of two.
What was that square footage again we were...
This is exterior square footage, okay?
Yeah.
Which is what you have in a house, too, when they come
on, and
measure
on 14 by 66, what you're approved for is 924. You may make note of that for your records, if you like.
Okay. Yeah, it says here that it's the actual width is actually 13 feet, 4 inches, so that's probably how they come up with the 88.
No, it would be less than that. It would be 13 feet. Because you've got, if you have, I don't know what the, I don't know if it's 2x4. Mark, is it 2x4 construction, Dave, or 2x2 construction?
2x4.
So if the actual thing is 13.3 and it's 2x4 construction, or 14.
7 inches all the way around.
Yeah.
Yes, you're up.
Sorry, one more comment. I guess if I was to make a preference, if maybe there was a modular home instead of a mobile home that was placed on this, it would look more like a residential than a mobile home.
You're concerned that it looks too much like a mobile home.
That's right. That a modular, you know, it's all pre-manufactured, it meets all the codes, they come in with a crane, they drop it on the pad. To me, that would look less obtrusive.
What is the difference in pricing from a modular to a manufacturer? You have no idea of that.
It'd be a lot larger, too.
You know,
not
the other advantage to that.
It could be custom sized for the pad that's already there.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Ron's up.
If you're going to have to pour a new slab anyway, no matter what you do, one of the advantages is now you can build a structure that's squarer. And like you said, it looks more in keeping with the rest of the lot. And you may find that you can have a structure within that total square footage that gives you everything you wanted. That might be a...
Okay. Reasonable. So some scenarios get discussed, and you have to be asking your question yourselves by now. Are we going to continue on this course? If this is what you want, without being open to considering other options, then we move forward exactly as you applied. But if you're saying, well, maybe there are other options that we ought to explore to avoid this process, if you kept it small, as Dave said, you wouldn't be here right now, or you got something bigger or square in the modular pre-manufactured sense, just the same, might be more hurricane proof or something, I don't know the difference, or aesthetically more pleasing, I'm not certain of that. You can have a nice home and, you know, that let that go to waste also. So beauty's in the eyes of the lies in the holder. So I ask you, do you want to proceed as you applied, and we'll move on with the discussion.
Question.
Yes, ma'am.
Would the size of the unit be an issue for you if we put a modular home on there? Would it still have to be the 60 feet? Or can it go to the 66 or 72?
I think it's the square footage that's the issue. Not the size as much as the square. I mean, for me, it's the square footage.
Right.
Is that right now you're allowed... 924 square feet.
It sounds like Gary's saying the look of it is what
is
he does.
Yeah. I mean, a 20x40 ranch is 800 square feet.
A ranch is different than...
Than a modular. Yeah, I know. But I mean, I think what Gary is alluding to is that if there were some kind of a... If you wanted to explore if there was something else that was within your price range that you could afford that would be within this square footage that you were allowed initially, which is 924 square feet.
Which is what we have now.
That's what you're allowed now, 924 square feet. So,
and what do we have now? Existing.
You have 784. Now you have 784, but you were approved in 2005 for 924 square feet.
Did you write that down?
Yeah, 924, yes.
Yeah. What kind of a time frame looking at? Is this something you need to do?
Yeah, we were going to
very
do it
soon.
Right away.
We would like to have it done before winter.
Okay.
What year?
This year.
Yeah.
Okay, so you want to proceed. We're going to continue the discussion based on your application.
Yes, sir.
Is there any more comment from, go ahead, Mark?
It's more of a question.
Okay.
If the applicant continues on and the variance is not allowed, does that hurt their position to ever come back before this board on the same matter?
Well, with the same criteria, yes, but if they lessen their demand and went with same like for like, as Dave said, we wouldn't be here.
Well, I think there's another option too, is that if you were thinking that you might want to investigate a different kind of manufactured housing, we could continue the hearing for a month. You wouldn't have to pay noticing fees or anything. You could look into other options and come back in a month and say, no, this is what we want to go with, or we found something else. And then, I don't know, Dave, if they fit that square footage,
They're not expanding.
I would think they would be allowed to put whatever they needed down there that and not need a variance. But, yeah.
I would like to reel everybody back in. We've been all over the place here. They're allowed a 14 by 64 now.
Yeah.
They want to put a 14 by 66.
Right.
It's two extra feet by 14.
14 feet.
That's what's going
14
on.
Feet.
28 feet. 28
square feet.
We're getting all over the place here.
Yeah.
Yeah, 28 feet is what?
I do think we had a lot of vibrant discussion.
Is that 900 some square feet?
Well, it goes, they're allowed
896, not
924. I'm sorry, I misspoke. 14 by 64 is 896. 14 by 66 is 924. So basically, it's 28 feet that they're asking. Right.
So you're looking
for
the
28 square feet.
But you're
the base of a bathroom, just about. Right.
But you're expanding a legal
non-conforming
structure that's already been upgraded once, and you're going to do it again, and I am not comfortable with repeated variances to change, because it establishes a pattern that I'm not comfortable with.
What do you say?
You think they come back?
Make a motion.
Well,
to,
I think you have to.
Yeah.
Well, I think when we get to the when we get to the discussions of the the hardship.
What are those criteria that we have to pass?
The five
criteria.
The five criteria. Okay. Yeah, we have to go through the five.
All right.
Criteria. And you think,
Mr. Hall? Would you go ahead, Mr. Hall, speaking for the record.
Al Hall, Adams Road. I've been listening a few minutes to this informational discussion, and I appreciate what Member Bird is expressing her opinion. And I, in my memory, recall when the Perkins owned this property and the circumstances under which the original trail was put on, and the improvements, if you will. As I recall, the sole purpose of that was, and which this board, the previous board, approved, was, in my terms, in layman's terms, circumventing the 5-acre minimum lot size. However, it had been so many years, and in my memory, there's been no problems. I would, and this couple seems to, in my terms, have their ducks in order and be reasonable. I would encourage the board to approve their request. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Duly noted.
Thank you.
If it's appropriate, I will take one last volley from the public, and then we can close it to the public and move it along. Any more commentary? Then we will close it and move from here. Any other discussion from the board? Are there any motions from the board?
I have a question.
Go ahead.
If we were to approve this, could we approve it with the stipulation that when there are no longer family members to live in that structure, that it must be removed?
Can't do that.
No, I don't think we can. We can put a condition that they can't come back and enlarge it again. Yeah. And that satisfies her concern, saying, how many more times can we go to the well?
But this is the third time already, and
second. Second.
No, the first time it was a variance, and then it got improved, and now this is the third time.
I don't think so, Ingrid. It was 2005 when we heard it.
Judith, don't argue.
No, I mean, you're wrong, Ingrid. There's only two. It was in 2005 they were granted a variance.
So
because I sat on the board.
It was a variance at that point. It got upgraded, and now it's the third time.
No, second.
It's the third time we're going
when
to
When was the
change.
First?
Well, whenever it was first put in place, because in 2005 it was to replace the existing mobile home.
But the thing is, it was placed there before...
1964 is how long it's been there.
Right. They wanted it upgraded in 2005.
Right.
So
this would be the second time.
So this is the second time. So when it was there, and I think, I don't even remember when zoning, I think maybe was it, first zoning was in like the late 50s, wasn't it?
69.
Well, so it precedes zoning. So it was there. It was
the building inspector. I brought him one of the original zoning ordinances this town had. I think it was written with a pen and quill.
I would entertain any motions.
Well, why don't we go through the
We need to go through the five variance.
Okay. Would you bring us through that, Boyd?
Sure.
And we'll vote on each one of them as you present them.
All right, this is from RSA 674:33. The Zoning Board of Adjustment shall have the power to hear and decide appeals. There's a blah, blah, blah. Authorize upon appeal in a specific case a variance from the terms of the zoning ordinance if there's five criteria there. The first one, the variance will not be contrary to the public interest. And we have to vote as a board on each one of these.
That's correct.
Okay, so that basically means that it must unduly and to a marked degree violate the basic objectives of the zoning ordinance. Does the variance alter the essential character of the neighborhood or threaten the health, safety, or general welfare of the public? So...
I believe that it does not. It will not be contrary to the public interest.
I agree with that. 28 square feet.
I agree with that.
Yep, Ingrid?
I agree.
No problem.
So you're going to abstain from that vote?
I'm going to abstain
okay.
from that.
Okay.
All right. So yes, what's the vote on that?
Four ayes, one abstain.
Okay. Number two, the spirit of the ordinance is observed.
So it means that it must unduly and in a marked degree conflict with the ordinance such that it violates the ordinance's basic zoning objectives.
I agree this observes the spirit of the ordinance. You're talking about replacing a 64-foot mobile home with a 66-foot mobile home.
On a substandard lot.
Well,
that's
certainly a better looking...
Right.
You're hoping. But, just
how
take
can it help
one and a half is what we're looking at. And
not really.
Okay.
One and a half is
I think that if we were talking about putting that on there now...
That would be a different story.
Then definitely you could say it's contrary to the public interest.
Right.
But the fact that this pre-existed zoning, and there has been a manufactured house on this property since 1964.
Yeah.
I agree.
Let's stay on topic. Is the spirit of the ordinance observed?
In my estimation,
yes.
It is.
Yes.
Yes. Four yeas, one abstention.
No.
No.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
Oh.
No.
All right.
One nay.
Yes, ma'am.
May I go on?
Yes, sir.
Substantial justice is done. I agree it is by allowing us expansion by 28 square feet.
I agree that it is, and we can put conditions on it after if we like.
It says that any loss to an individual that is not outweighed by a gain to the general public is an injustice. When you're talking about the the people that are living here and the situation that they're talking about, you know, if you know anything about autism and the concerns that autistic people have, that the ability to have that private bathroom, and I think those things are can't be ignored by this board.
Did you read that statement again?
The statement says that substantial justice says that any loss to an individual that is not outweighed by a gain to the general public is an injustice.
Oh, I so agree. Their loss is much greater than a gain.
Absolutely. The public gains nothing. Right. And
is substantial justice done?
I agree.
Yes.
Yes, for number four.
The value of surrounding property is not diminished. I think Mark pointed out by putting a newer manufactured home in there, it's going to enhance the value of the surrounding property.
Yeah, we recognize Mr. York's concern. I think
it could be the same size as what is there now. And for me, the size is an issue. Not the fact that it's attractive or anything else.
But if you make it the same size, Ingrid, then can I finish?
No, you're arguing with me, and I don't need you to argue with me.
Well, then I think you're wrong, because you're going back to substantial justice. Right. And substantial justice is saying that this autistic man has the right to have the privacy of his bathroom, that you can say, yeah, go into this, and too bad, but that you, by sticking to that 2 feet, does a severe injustice to this man. And this is a pre-existing use. And whatever happens afterwards, we don't have any control over that, so.
The values of surrounding properties are not diminished.
I agree.
Ingrid, what's your vote, please?
Oh, I have no problem with that.
Okay, number five?
Because that depends on the owner of the adjoining
properties.
I agree with that. Number five, literal enforcement of the provisions of this ordinance would result in an unnecessary hardship. I think it's clear.
I believe that it would.
Yeah.
Okay, all in favor?
Okay, here's the thing, though. Listen to what it says. Only when some characteristic of this particular land in question makes it different from others can unnecessary hardship be claimed.
I still think that way.
So what makes it different? I guess the only thing that makes it different is the fact that it pre-existed zoning.
Right. What makes it different is they didn't get a variance for a big enough house trailer in the first place.
Yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm. If they would have got a variance for a 66-footer, we wouldn't be here. Or a second one. Right.
Well, that was, I think, the biggest one they made in 2005.
Right. Sure.
But I think that the thing that's the characteristic that makes it different is that it pre-existed zoning.
Sure.
Okay. And so on number five?
I agree.
Judith?
I agree.
Yeah. And Ingrid, she does not. So 4 yeas and a nay.
May I make a motion?
You may.
The board grant the variance under Article 2, Section 202B, allowing a 14x66 mobile home to replace the existing 14x64 mobile home on the property of hang on, I need a tax map for lot number here. Map 406, lot 39.
Any conditions with that?
I don't see where.
I think that this somewhere we have to let them know that this is the last variance they're getting on that property.
I happen to agree with that.
Okay, we will say this is final variance that will be considered by this board for this property.
Well, on this non-conforming use.
On this use, yes.
This particular use.
Okay. Second on that? I'll second that motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. And so you'll get a written notice of decision, and you'll be able to move forward at such time.
Passed with 5 ayes.
It did.
What do you do with an old mobile home? I mean, what happens if it's recycled?
Well, our hope is to sell it to someone who is now checking for a variance.
In another town.
Oh, no, thank you.
In a different town, yeah.
Don't go in here.
No.
Basically, just for the cost of our proceeding through this.
If it falls through,
he's
then they demolish them. They demolish them and scrap them out then if that falls through.
When Kim had the sawmill, the base of a mobile home was used to carry the sawmill.
So the frame was good for something.
The frame was, was what was used.
Okay. Well, we're hoping that this other couple can. They're living in a.
Thank you very much for your time.
Good luck with your project.
Thank you.
Two-room 1950s trailer.
Anything will be an improvement.
Anything. This is like the Taj Mahal
all right, folks,
to them.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Good day.
See you soon.
Lisa, have you captured all that?
Of course we did.
Thank you. Moving on to old new business or other business.
Where are we here?
Do you want to approve the minutes? Get that out of the way?
Yeah, let's
we can.
And so we have unapproved minutes of July 23rd. I went through them and didn't see any cause for any changes. Having said that, I would make a motion to approve as presented.
I'll second that, Mr. Chairman.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And abstention from Ingrid Bird.
Because I wasn't here.
Like to commend our assistant there for really good minutes. I mean, she boils this thing right down to where the important points and gets it over with, and very good job.
I agree. You know, I think the minutes we used to have were far too extensive. I never thought you'd have that.
Bart liked them, though.
Well, he might, but, you know,
it
fine.
Everything
so
in
you
there
keep
that
the tape or something, right, but I just don't see that.
Bart did like it.
Yeah, he did.
Floyd, would you be so kind of bring us through the discussion with the Board of Selectmen, whatever little there was on the warrant article?
Oh, yeah, it's going to be on the warrant.
Quite simply, I did. From the minutes I read, you said, hey, what about it? And you voted on it.
We're not in accordance with the law. Jude brought that out, brought that to our attention. I said, alternates haven't been duly appointed yet because the Board of Selectmen, because the town hasn't authorized the Board of Selectmen to appoint them. And we're on pretty thin ice if they ever make a decisive ruling.
And get called, right?
And so the Big Ben is.
And they also approved Mr. Steinmetz.
Yes.
And so what we have is we'll be faced with a warrant article next year just to see if we can, you know, glide our way through that legal technicality.
That should be easy.
Yeah, I don't believe it would be a problem, but thanks for spearheading that with that board.
Thanks to Judith for reading the fine print, one of those books.
Boyd and I went to the planning board's zoning revision meeting. They've got like 37 planning... Proposed warrant articles for zoning changes.
Good luck.
And one of the things that Rudy wanted to change, and I couldn't quite understand what he was talking about, but he wants to change something because he doesn't feel that people understand the difference between a special exception and a variance, and he wanted to put something in there that explains the difference between a special exception and a variance, and I kept saying, trying to explain to him, it was really very clear, because... He talked about waivers, and I said, no, waivers are what you grant. You pass regulations, you can waive your regulations. The zoning ordinance is passed by the people, and you are either allowed, you are not allowed, or you're allowed if you meet these conditions, which is a special exception. And it's very clear, and it states right above, this is what is done. Well, people don't understand the difference. Well, the difference is you're allowed, you're not allowed, or you get a special exception. It says right there, done everything in the urn. So I don't know what he's proposing to put in there, something in the definitions, but I don't know how you can define it any clearer.
Okay. Moving on to the 2020 budget proposal, I see no reason to change anything. Every year we've been operating with the same budget, yeah?
Well, thank you, because the Board of Selectmen approved it last night for a
second. Oh, good. We'll scratch that right off there.
Well, I'm glad you decided to go with that.
Hey.
We sort of did this in reverse.
That's right. Any other business?
Where do we stand with the alternate sitting at the table? Is that something that...
We have to wait... two things. We have to wait till the selectmen, till the March, till it's legal. But I think that we should prepare something for our... the rules of procedure that allows us to have them sit at the table and, you know, explains how it's going to go. They sit at the table, and they are allowed to ask questions, but once the meeting is concluded, they may no longer participate in the discussions for a decision.
That's correct.
And then if we have that and we do January and February, when we meet, if we do them in January and February, those are our two notices, and then in March, after the election, and hopefully that will pass, then at our meeting in March, we can have it, or is it, it's twice, so we could do it, so we could do it February and March.
So the only difference between now and March is you'll be sitting there instead of here.
Right.
No, it has to be two consecutive, then vote, so it has to be three meetings for ZBA, two meetings.
So it's January, February, and then March.
I think at one point, the discussion was that it was confusing for people in the audience if there were more than five board members sitting here, because they don't understand that an alternate is not necessarily a member of the board unless that alternate is sitting for somebody.
But that's what roll call is about.
And
that's
that
what
can be explained at each meeting.
You can, but it at one point it got too confusing, and the board had decided five, and you know, if you're an alternate, Boyd remembers that because he used to go home.
Yeah.
All right. All right. Well, thanks for that. Then, is there any other comment or other business?
Yes,
I have.
Go ahead. Would you, Ingrid? Go ahead.
After some consideration, I've decided to resign from the board for reasons of not being able to read anymore because of my eye diseases. I can see just fine. I can see all you people out there and people here, but I can't read. And I can't do zoning ordinances. I can't read RSAs. I can't read site plans. And that's unfair to the rest of you guys because I'm not doing my share of the work. And it's not fair to the applicants if I can't look at things appropriately. Okay. So,
is that effective?
My diseases. Macular degeneration and glaucoma.
Okay. And your resignation will be effective immediately?
Immediately.
All right. Well, thank you for
that. I thank Ingrid for about 30 years of dedicated, you know, faithful service in this board.
Yep.
Not just, haven't been on here.
No, actually, Ingrid hasn't been on the board that long.
But for public service.
Public service.
Public
between
service.
The school board, the planning board.
Planning board.
Yeah.
Okay.
And making some citizens in town totally miserable.
Should she write something or does she need to?
I don't know.
I will check with Andrea.
6 years. Yeah, not that long.
Then maybe you can type something up.
It was a couple of years after, 2 or 3 years after you got off the school board.
Submit it to the BOS.
Thank you.
Okay.
I think, right?
Well, on behalf of this board as well, thanks for all your hard work, and we wish you all the best going forward.
Oh, yeah. Ingrid, Lisa will write something up for you, and
Lisa,
let you
just
know.
put it, you know, that it was for eye disease issues, because I think the selectmen are aware of it. But I can't do my job for this board and the residents if I can't see.
Okay. All right. Thank you for that, Ingrid. Any other business to discuss before we adjourn?
Yes. Anthony, you need to go before the clerk.
Town clerk.
She probably closed, but you need to do that to be sworn in before you can even be asked to sit at anything.
She might be here right now, so
right.
You might check
in. If she's here now, you can get sworn in. If not, you just got to come back on a later date.
Yeah.
She's just going to say, raise your hand, repeat after me, and it takes like 30
seconds.
So if you want to go check if she's here right now.
You'll get a nice certificate while you're there.
Yes, she has your certificate.
Did you do that, Mark?
I did.
All right. Okay.
Okay, so is it appropriate then to
appoint,
ask the board to appoint Mark to fill Ingrid's place? Since Mark is...
I have one question. Mark, are you a Republican or a Democrat?
Oh.
Oh!
I want a Republican.
Somebody's blushing.
I'll answer the question because it's public record. I'm a registered Republican.
I don't care.
She's just
as long as
everyone has his faults.
An Obama crowd.
It's an interesting question, Ingrid. I didn't expect you to ask
that. Very good, very good.
Ron,
did you have something to say?
Well, yeah, just that I think we should do that
Do we do that before the
meeting, so that the next meeting we have a 4-4?
Yeah, that's true. Yes. Yep.
Because Mark can't sit.
Now, that has to be approved by the select.
It does, correct? Because right now, these guys are been appointed alternates, and they're going to get appointed as full board members. One of them.
One of them. Okay.
So flip a coin and decide which one of these guys you want to.
Well, I would make a motion to appoint Mark as a regular sitting member. And that would leave Tony Steinmetz as our alternate.
That's the next one.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll second that.
All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And that gets approved, and Lisa?
Your board meeting will be before our next meeting.
Yeah.
Right. So we'll just get that all cemented.
So Mark, the thing is you'll have to get sworn in.
Yeah. Again.
Before the next meeting, yes.
Well, no.
Well, once approved.
Well, once you're approved.
Yes, once you're approved after the.
Sign your certificate and give it to you, and you go.
As full member.
Yeah, Lisa, can you let him know once that's done?
Yeah, I'll talk to Andrea about that.
When do the checks start coming in the mail? I mean,
you've got to go to Mrs. Wade for those.
It's $500 a meeting, right?
You got to go Helen Wade.
Get up in the post office and eat candy.
Okay. I was waiting for a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
And seconded by Board Chivers, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye, and we will adjourn at 8:02, if that's all right.